Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a celebration of John Sterling. As sad as I am that he will no longer be calling New York Yankee games, as sad as a lot of Yankee fans and baseball fans are, it's also an appreciation. John Sterling is 85 years old. He gave so much of his life to broadcasting the New York Yankees, and he was marvelous at it. And as you heard yesterday, he's announcing his retirement. There'll be a big event on Saturday at Yankee Stadium to honor him. But here's the truth about John Sterling. It's very important to realize. He came to the Yankees in 1989. John Sterling existed before he came to the New York Yankees.
Yes.
In fact, John had a really long, brilliant career in which he did so many things. So right now, for just a couple of minutes, let's honor some of the other things John Sterling did. So let's start it off with while he was doing a talk show. You know how we have callers to talk shows? John had a caller, a lovely elderly woman who called in and was trying to talk to John and was also not very happy with John. Okay, was not thrilled with John. I think even said, stick to sports or something of that nature to John Sterling.
I wonder what precipitated this.
I had to cut it out because it was going to be too long.
What was it, though?
She was complaining, I think, about the economy, if I'm not mistaken.
What?
And John really wasn't that interested in talking about that.
And what year was this?
This was, I think, 1975,
wow.
if I'm not mistaken.
That was the year I was born.
So, how about that? So, the elderly woman is talking to John, and we are going to play you the part where things turn, and they start to argue with each other, and give it time, because John will not only argue with her, but he will then lose his cool on her, like a good talk show host. So, ladies and gentlemen, moment number one, John Sterling fighting with an elderly woman on talk radio.
And as far as you being a commentator, you should stick to sportscasting and not commentating.
Ma'am, I want to thank you for all the compliments you've given me. All the compliments you've given me, ma'am, make me go on in life with more desire.
Listen,
my shoulders will be straighter. My chin will be up. My thoughts will be pure. I will look up to the skies. I will join hands with my fellow man and we'll march off to the sunset full of renewed effort and promise and hope.
Come on, Ross! You're back!
489-1155 is 20 minutes before 7. How would you like to have been married to that voice, okay? That woman would crack glass. That woman would take paint off the walls. How about that voice waking you up in the morning? Wow! How'd you like that, man? How'd you like to be married to that? Wow! You imagine that? Woo! Wow! Woo! Wow! Wow! Woo! Wow! Woo! I'm gonna send my ear out now to be rehabilitated. Well, it's 489-11. I hope she calls Bob Grant tomorrow. I hope she calls Grant every day, as a matter of fact.
I'm going to send my ear out to be rehabilitated. That's amazing.
That's a good talk show host right there, ladies and gentlemen. For anyone who says, oh, you guys yell too much. Oh, you're so mean. That's our man right there. Now let's give you a sports moment. Let's give you a moment that I've heard a lot talked about. It was very difficult to find these moments, but John used to call Islander games. Are you guys aware of that? He used to call Islander games. And he had a very famous Islander goal call. So we were able to track at least a couple down. Here is an example of John Sterling doing play-by-play of hockey and giving you an Islanders goal back in the late 1970s.
Across the line, here to the right in the spot. Dennis Machado.
How cool is that?
Did you say Pop Van?
Yes.
Pop Van?
Yeah. How about that? A little Pop Van goal score from John Sterling.
And credit to Brendan Burke, who did that call last night.
He did. He did a great job of that last night. There were a lot of tributes all over. Brendan Burke, who did an outstanding job, gave you the Islanders goal! Islanders goal! Islanders goal! Now we go back to his wonderful radio show. Would you like to hear the intro to his radio show? He used to have a theme song.
Did he really?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Is it him singing?
I don't think it's him singing necessarily.
Right.
But his voice is heard in this little intro.
Okay, let's hear it.
So here it is, the intro promo for John Sterling's radio show.
WMCA.
Now, like it or not, you'll be learning who's good with a bat but can't throw. And similar junk he must keep in a trunk for the John Sterling Show. And once he adopts a position, he won't vacillate to and fro. No matter how wrong he may be all along on the John Sterling Show.
Give it a rest.
Yes, the John Sterling Show.
Yeah.
Give it a rest.
Can we get a jingle?
You want a jingle like that?
We need a jingle. We need an old school jingle like that.
Anybody want to write one for us?
Give it a rest. Yeah.
We're probably not going to give you any money, but we can give you some tickets to a Medellin game. And finally, John, as you heard, did a talk show. And I found this entire show on YouTube. If you guys want to check this out, he did a talk show the day after the New York Yankees won Game 7 of the 1977 World Series.
This is a radio talk show
this
or TV?
This is a talk radio show on the aforementioned WMCA.
Okay.
In which he did a three-hour show the day after Reggie Jackson hit those three home runs and the Yankees won the World Series. So I listened to a good hour of it so far. I mean, it's a long one. It's about 3 hours. And I said to myself, what can I pull from this that I think the audience would appreciate? So, would you like to hear John Sterling talking about strangling a person?
Strangling?
Who did not get Reggie Jackson's second home run ball?
What?
He was very passionate.
Why is he talking about strangling somebody?
Well, I think he was more joking.
Was he mad?
No, he was more like, how come that person didn't get the ball? Like, that's a famous home run. You got to get that ball. So, here's John Sterling talking about the person who didn't get one of Reggie's home run balls.
Well, of course, that was Jackson's second home run. We're still trying to find his third home run. I'd like to get my hands on the people who lost his third home run. I'd strangle him. I swear to goodness I'd strangle him. I'd strangle him and strangle him. I'd love to get that home run. I guess I have to recreate that myself. The Yankees had the game put away.
God, radio was different back then.
He's the best. That personality that we all love was always there doing many things before he got to the New York Yankees. Talk shows, Islander games, and even baseball games.
I'm still confused what happened to the ball.
Like, what was that?
Like someone didn't get the ball?
Or I don't know.
Or they didn't give it back.
I think that I thought the third one bounced into the black at Yankee Stadium, so I'm not sure. Maybe someone got it and they lost it. I'm not positive. But what I present to you right now is, I think, one of the great calls in the history of baseball. And John Sterling made it. Met fans know about this game. It was a crazy, wild, extra-inning affair against the Atlanta Braves on firework night. Mm. The game at this point was in the 19th inning. The Mets were one out away from winning, and the Braves had to send up not just a pitcher to hit, but a pitcher who had no success hitting. It was one of the worst hitting pitchers in baseball, a guy by the name of Rick Camp. And John Sterling did such a brilliant job of setting up the situation and then reacting to one of the most shocking home runs in the history of baseball. And just a little backstory before we play this. John Sterling didn't think this was a great call. He said that to Joe and I. And we were like, John, with all due respect.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is one of the great calls in the history of baseball.
I've never heard it, so I'm interested.
And it humbled him to hear that, but I think everyone's going to agree with me. Tiki's going to agree with me. Everybody listening who hasn't heard this is going to agree with me. This is one of the great calls of all time because of how real it was. So, ladies and gentlemen, the great John Sterling.
Well, this is why I always save a player. This is absolutely the reason. I thought the Braves did the right thing. They let Runge take a shot at winning it, and he hit the ball well. But now two outs and no one on. The Mets are waving their outfielders in. The whole Met team waving their outfielders in. Here's Rick Camp with a game on the line. Two outs and no one on base. And at least he took a good cut and fouled it off. Ernie, if he hits a home run to tie this game, this game will be certified as absolutely the nuttiest in the history of baseball.
Well, they could go to another pitcher, but in 18 innings, they've used just about everybody.
No, the only three guys left are Bedrosian, Perez, and Zane Smith. There's a strike 0-2.
So they've researched that, and they figure that Camp is the best hitter of the three left.
It'll be an 0-2 pitch. And he hits it to deep left. Heat goes back. It is gone. Holy cow. Oh, my goodness. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Rick Kemp. Rick Kemp. I don't believe it. Remember what I just said? If he hits a home run, that certifies this game as the wackiest, wildest, most improbable game in history. On an 0-2 pitch, Rick Kemp hit it over the left center field wall. I don't believe it. If you only knew on the Braves, we kid Rick Kemp about his hitting more than anything. Ernie.
Nobody can believe it. Kemp makes it 11-11, his first Major League homer.
I mean, that is the most improbable act. Let's see it again, Ernie.
We got to look at this another 50 times.
There
that
he
goes
is.
Heap. It's out of here.
And it hit the football bleachers. I mean, if you told me that John Sterling's going to run for president and win, that wouldn't be any more improbable. And I got to tell you, that's improbable. Unbelievable.
That is a call.
That is great because it's just, it's real. It's genuine disbelief.
Oh, yes.
And you can't even think of what else to say other than, I can't believe it.
That's why it was important. I said this to Lee. We got to have the whole at-bat because it's not just the home run. He says a pitch earlier, if this guy hits a home run, this game is certifiable.
And this was the 18th inning.
The 18th inning, yes. Wow. I think I misspoke before.
Camp came up in the 19th and was the last batter struck out to lose the game and was the losing pitcher.
Yes.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
And it was fireworks night in Atlanta. This is a story my dad always tells me.
That is a bizarre game.
And they shot off the fireworks at 3 a.m.
4 a.m.
4 a.m., okay.
The game started on the 4th of July and ended at 4 a.m. on the 5th of July, and the fans that stayed because they paid for fireworks, that they still did the fireworks, and local residents went nuts.
You know what I got to do?
What year was that?
1985 or
85.
It was 85. You know what I got to do? What's listening that? To that whole clip and talking about that game, you know what I got to do.
What's that?
You know what I got to do,
Find
Sean?
Find the video of it?
No.
What's that?
You know what I got to do, Logan?
He's got to rewatch it. Possibly score it, but definitely rewatch it.
Score it. No. Not possibly. I got to score that game. I got to score that freaking game.
18 innings?
Damn right.
No, 19 innings because it went to 19.
Went 19 innings. And you know, in my Bob Carpenter scorebook, it only goes 15, which means I got to turn the page, which is always a very exciting moment. I'm a loser.
So you turn the page, you have to rewrite the lineup?
That is correct. I have one game in my Mets Bible that went 20 innings. That's true. Met Cardinal game. By the way, did you read the book, Loogie?
I have not read the entire book yet.
Did you read the book, Sean?
Not the entire. I go chapter by chapter.
Tiki, did you read the book?
No, I signed a few of them.
So
we support it, though.
I'm not going to get on Tiki because the guy literally came to events with me, so you are excused from my, you know. You guys haven't read the book?
It sits in my downstairs bathroom, and when I have time, I knock a chapter.
Because I had a trivia question for you about my book.
Okay.
Every National League team is featured in this book except for one. What National League team is not in My Mets Bible on sale now?
The Giants.
That is incorrect.
Just a guess.
I was going to say...
Who are you going to say?
Based on what we just did, the Braves.
You thought the... How could the Braves...
Come on, Sean.
Dude, I randomly picked a game on
I realized
Staten
that.
Island,
I saw the video of that.
The Staten Island
Because
event.
we just
it was it's a Braves game.
Yes.
You know, and it was 6-5 right after the Mets lost 6-5 to the Braves.
I think the Braves and the Yankees are the two most popular teams outside of, obviously, the Mets.
Cardinals, I've seen that. But the setup was it would be a team you wouldn't expect. That's all.
Okay, well, it's not. It's a boring answer. You want me to just tell you?
Rockies?
There you. That's my guy right there.
Wait a minute.
That's my guy.
I thought you told us that the Rockies' first ever game was in the book.
Didn't make the book. No, I scored the game. That was Doc Gooden, complete game, shutout opening day 1993. But it didn't make the book.
You have a scored game from its franchise's first ever game. It's not in the book.
Yeah,
that's correct.
He also has a game where he took his wife and she broke up, or his girlfriend at the time, and she broke up with him because of what he was doing at this game. It's an unbelievable story, and it's not in the book.
I know. That's a big mistake.
It's probably the most telling story about Evan Roberts that anyone could ever read or hear. And I heard it in real time because he told the story. And you left it out of the book.
And it didn't make the book, yeah.
That's a mistake.
Dude, when I got home that night.
Because that would humanize you.
No, thank you.
I'm just being real.
When I got home that night after the book event, I said to my wife, my wife's like, how was it? I saw it was great. Tiki's awesome. It was fantastic. But there is something that's bothering me. And she's like, what's that? I said, I got exposed that there was one game that needed to be in the book. And it was our third date where you decided we shouldn't see each other anymore. Mainly because I took a Listerine stick out at the end of the date, and she thought I was going for the kiss, and I just wanted to clean my breath up, and that was it. And gave her a hug, and she's like, what's up with this guy?
Didn't kiss her.
Didn't even kiss her.
put in a Listerine stick and didn't kiss her.
I know.
Listen, man. And he was also on his phone the whole time.
And you want to explain why I was on the phone the whole time.
He was on the phone the whole time because he was preparing for the show.
That's right. I was texting Ernie Acosta. We were preparing for the midday show.
Didn't you feel better, Loogie?
Does it? All right, let's get back to your calls. We will continue to tribute the great John Sterling throughout the week as we get you set for the big festivities on Saturday in which John will get the day he deserves at Yankee Stadium. Let's go to Shamark up in Buffalo. What's up, Shamark?
Hey, you know what? I mean, I was really ready to go nuts on you about this game with the whole Knicks thing, but the fact that you pulled out the Listerine stick on a third date and didn't kiss her, I got to go up a bit light. But and the fact that you're actually going to score a game from like 30 years ago, that's another thing. I'm going to take it easy on you. But listen, this is what I'm going to say. You're absolutely way off base with this Knicks thing, and I know you were not saying the Knicks should lose. You were saying you felt bad, it wasn't fair, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, well, clarify before you continue the point. What I said yesterday was when you were in the 2-seed, and the same goes for Denver, by the way, out west, I feel like you deserve more than the potential matchup you're getting, and that's why I proposed the change to the NBA playoffs where the top 2 seeds get to pick their opponent, where I think you at least earn that right as opposed to being stuck with the potential matchup you're going to be stuck with, and the same goes for the Denver Nuggets. So it's not a slight on the Knicks. It's actually a compliment, and I'm looking out for them because I think ultimately they got screwed, but go ahead.
Well, this is why I think you were absolutely wrong. Number one is an old saying, you get what you pay for, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. You get what you ask for. Mm-hmm. And let me just tell you, I can make the argument that the last 3 playoff series that the Knicks won, they were arguably at least as good, if not better on paper, than all 3 of these teams, and they lost them. Example number one, 2012-2013, where the Knicks made what Tyson Chandler made Roy Hibbert look like Rick Smith. The Knicks were arguably the better team. Example number two, when they played the Hawks 2021, where they made Trae Young look like the new Reggie Miller. Mm-hmm. Example number three, last year, when everyone expected them to be Heat, and they didn't have 2 of their better players of Oladipo and Duncan Robinson, and guys like Gabe, you know,
Tyler Herro,
whatever, was just going nuts on the Knicks. So just because they played against the Pacers this year, if they did, doesn't mean they're going to win. And the fact that you would have been insinuate that if the Knicks played the Heat, they would just stomp them. Are you kidding me?
I believe that.
Have you looked at a Knicks playoff game series with the Heat?
I have. I'm giving you my opinion. I think you're significantly better. Look at their roster and the losses they've had as compared to last year. And it may seem minor that Gabe Vincent isn't there. It may seem minor that Kyle Lowry isn't there. I don't think it's that minor. That's number one. Number two, they haven't played very well. Where's the offense coming from? Number three, you guys are freaked out by Jimmy Butler. I haven't seen that Jimmy Butler yet.
I haven't either.
So I'm giving you, you don't have to like it, by the way, I'm giving you a basketball opinion that your team will smash them, and for some reason that bothers you. It's a compliment.
I also feel like this Knicks team is just, it's different than those teams that he was talking about. It's different than the flawed 11-12 Knicks teams. It's different than the 2021 Knicks team where, I mean, he wants to talk about Trae Young. It was really DeAndre Hunter who locked up a Julius Randle that made the biggest difference in that series. So, and even the Heat series, I mean, that was a hot Heat team. We talked about it. Like, they had no business being where they were. They had no business getting to the NBA Finals. But certain teams just have this, I don't know, this thing of destiny that either they believe or they just start playing right at the right time. And that was the Heat last year. So, but this Knicks team feels capable of adjusting. I think those other teams that he was talking about, whether it was way back with Damari and those guys or the first iteration of this Tom Thibodeau playoff New York Knicks team, like it just felt like they could do one thing. And then that was it. Mm. This team doesn't feel like that.
It is a better team.
It is a better team. It is a better coached team, mm. even though it's the same coach from 2 years ago.
Well, because the coach has made adjustments.
Right.
The coach, I give you this about the Knicks and Tom Thibodeau. It's very, very impressive. There are three players specifically on this team who were veteran NBA players who we have watched elsewhere who are significantly better basketball players as member of the New York Knicks, where mm-hmm. I question, like, what the hell was I not watching when they were elsewhere? And I'll tell you the three names right off the top. Number one, Dante DiVincenzo.
No doubt.
He is a better basketball player than what he was for the first half decade of his NBA career. That's number one example. Number two example, Josh Hart. Mm-hmm. Like, Josh Hart's always been this spark plug, but he's never been this. And number three is Ihart.
Yeah.
Like, he is a... True. So when you see three different veteran players, I'm not talking about young guys you're developing, three veteran players who are significantly better.
And you're not even talking about Jalen Brunson.
I'm leaving that one out because that's so obvious.
I mean, that's obvious.
I'm leaving that one out. I look at those three role players in the NBA who had a resume and they come here and they get significantly better. You can't help but have to give the head coach a lot of credit for
that.
No doubt. Ozzie and Woodridge. What's up, Ozzie?
Ozzie.
Sun's out, guns out, baby.
Let's go.
Well, only Kiki is simpatico with that.
You're right.
Your pea shooter.
What, yeah, I don't have guns. I'm taking my guns out right now. Look at these, Tiki.
I got a jacket on
describe
today.
Describe them.
Yeah, they're very. I'm blinded by the whiteness of your skin.
2% milk arms.
Did you have your guns out during that date with your wife where she, like, said, we've got to end this right now?
I think I was hiding the guns that day. That's what I think I was doing.
Did you have your hot tuna fish sandwich pregame?
No, what I did is we went out for a beautiful lunch at the old McFadden's at Citi Field, and then we walked over and watched the game together.
Good spot there.
Good spot. Mm-hmm. Little date spot.
The saintly Sylvia is going straight to heaven.
I agree. She is a saint. I'm going to the Met game tonight. She's a saint. I'll tell you that.
Amen to her.
What was that?
Is she going with you?
No, but she is allowing me to go to the game tonight, which makes her a saint.
Speaking of the Mets, all right, you know who Rudolph the Islanders after the Rangers won their outdoor Stanley Cup?
Mm-hmm.
And then you know who said that the Mets would never reach the 500 mark?
Yes.
But I don't know what it is about New York and the orange and blue, but these teams have dogs that are going to do damage. These blue and orange New York teams.
Yeah.
It must just be in the water.
Must be. Islanders have dudes, yeah. Man. You're right about that. The Mets have dogs. Yeah. You're right.
Dogs.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a good point. It's a very good point. The Islanders and Mets have a lot of dudes and a lot of dogs. Maybe we should start adopting that, Ozzie. That sounds like a pretty good idea.
I think we should.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. So which one should be the dudes? The Islanders and the Mets are dogs? We go Islanders are dudes, Mets are dogs.
No. The Mets can't be dogs. The Yankees are already dogs.
That's true. You know what? I apologize. Right. I don't want to get on your... The Mets are dudes.
Dude.
The Islanders are dogs.
Right. Dog.
I think that works. I think we're all very, very happy.
And they all do damage?
And they all do damage. Well, good news for Ranger fans. The Islanders will not be doing any damage against the Rangers in the first round of the playoffs because last night the Islanders secured that third spot in the Metropolitan with a big victory over your...
Let's go Devils.
New Jersey Devils. And the Rangers, to their credit, took care of business. They have secured the President's Trophy, so we now know the New York Islanders will get a rematch with the Carolina Hurricanes, a franchise they are 0-2 against in the NHL playoffs in their history. They got swept, if memory serves correct, back in 2019, and then obviously the series last year where they lost in six. We'll get into hockey a little bit later on, including who as a Ranger fan you want to face. Coming up next, we get back to your calls, 877-337-6666. But we've got a fresh new edition of Posted and Toasted, where Tiki will guess the old tweets of some of our fellow WFAN coworkers. And then with the postseason around the corner for both the Knicks and the Rangers and the Islanders, how much are you willing to spend to go? Because these prices are nuts. We'll explain. Coming up at 4 o'clock, next 25 minutes, the next reveal in our New York Top 20, revealing the top 20 draft picks in New York sports over the last 50 years. We kicked it off yesterday with Phil Simms, Don Mattingly, Tiki Barber, and David Wright. Today we will find out who ranks 16th through 13th, and we'll also get to Posted and Toasted in about 30 seconds. But real quick, Chris is calling from Huntington. Chris, you're the one who sent over Petey's Burgers to me and Tiki on Friday night?
Good call, Evan. Yes, sir. I wasn't able to make it to my beloved hometown of Astoria, so I told my brothers I won't be able to make it, and my brother Peter and George said, don't worry about it. We love this show with Evan and Tiki. We'll send over a little spread. And I said, yeah, you know, just give them a few burgers or whatever. And I hope they were benevolent.
Yeah, they gave us like 30.
You guys a nice spread.
They gave us like 30 and fries and everything else.
Oh, they set us up, man.
It was amazing. It got me to Atlantic City, too. I appreciate it, Chris.
Warms my heart to hear that. And my brothers are huge Giants fans, and they love Tiki to death. So, and, of course, I'm a big admirer of the both of you guys. Hey, just a couple of quick questions, if you don't mind.
Yes.
By the way, I agree with what you said yesterday in principle, Evan, about the Knicks got a little shafted there. But I also, on the other hand, I understand your point, but I believe what Tiki said. We're so in love with this great, wonderful team that the New York Knicks are that we'll take any comers that come on. So we'll take them on. But I understand your point. But one other thing, I just want to ask Tiki. You know, I had the privilege of meeting Mrs. Jackie Robinson, you know, Mrs. Yeah, Rachel Robinson some years ago.
Yeah.
I've never met, other than my mom, a more graceful, beautiful human being. And we had about a five-minute conversation, and it so touched me. But I'm just wondering, Tiki, as a man of color, what does Jackie Robinson mean to you? Not to get into social issues here, but
yes.
I just wonder for you what he means to you. And when I look at our beautiful country, right, and I see how far we've come, we're imperfect, obviously. But I'm just wondering from your point of view, I would love to hear from your point of view how far you think we've come. Obviously, we have a lot more to go.
Right.
But I'm just wondering your perspective.
It's a good question, Chris. And interestingly, I forget when this was. Maybe it was a couple of years ago. They asked me to do a vignette on what Jackie Robinson meant. It was obviously here at not WFAN, but it was at the station.
Right.
CBS, sure. When I was on the national network, CBS Sports Network.
And thank you for the call, Chris. And thank you for the burgers. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no doubt. But I remember like thinking about it before I just responded to it. And we put it out over the air, went over the national network probably 3 years ago yesterday, right? It was on Jackie Robinson Day. And the thing that struck me most was like the challenges that he faced from a racial standpoint were there. But I think more importantly, it made it feel like anything was possible. Right. And so when I looked at Jackie Robinson, as I think back to hearing about his story when I was a kid, it made me believe that I could do whatever.
Mm.
It's why when I was, whatever, 10 years old, 11 years old, I wanted to be an astronaut. And they didn't have many black astronauts. I know the early stages of the NASA program, there were a couple of black astronaut trainees. They never made it. Right. They never went up. But it just made me feel like I could do whatever I wanted to do as long as I put my mind to it. And it's why I ended up at UVA. It's why I ended up in the NFL. It's why I ended up in radio. Like, I always felt like there was no barrier, even if there was a barrier, at least a perceptual barrier.
Right.
And I think that's his biggest legacy. Regardless of race and color and creed and all those other things, barriers are artificial. They're just put there because people say that they're there. And that's not the reality.
I think that the Wilpons did one really, really, really good thing. And that was when they built Citi Field. And people took this the wrong way. They took it as Dodgers, and they shouldn't have looked at it that way. They were wrong, my fellow Met fan. They built a shrine to Jackie Robinson,
right,
where every time you walk into Citi Field to this day, you get to see his face, you get to see his quotes, mm-hmm, and you get to experience his legacy. Sometimes it's easy when a guy hasn't been around for a while to forget.
Yeah.
Forgetting is the worst. And I appreciate that the Wilpons did a great job by building that shrine when you first walk into Citi Field to honor, forget about him as a baseball player, one of the great Americans of all time, one of the most important Americans of all time.
Right.
And I appreciate that every time I walk into Citi Field because you can't forget. And I love the fact that now I get to teach my kids when we walk into Citi mm-hmm Field, what's that? And I'm going to tell them.
Yeah.
And they're going to learn.
Yeah, Dad, who's Jackie Robinson? It's an opportunity to tell the story.
No question about it. It's a little bit late, but it's another edition of Posted and Toasted.
It's time for Posted and Toasted on Evan and Tiki.
So we find old social media posts of our fellow WFAN co-workers. I read it. Tiki Barber guesses who posted it, and then we toast them. We have a little bit of a tribute to the great John Sterling. We've got a couple of John Sterling-related social media posts. So let's start off on July 23rd, 2012. How about for Sterling, quote, a home run for Ichiro, son of a Bichio?
Oh, God.
Who posted that? Would that be Jerry Recco, Sean Morash, Evan Roberts, or Brandon Tierney?
Definitely Sean Morash.
You're wrong. That's,
put that on Sean.
That's so your voice.
Yeah.
I could so hear you saying that.
Were you confident, Sean, that it wasn't you?
Yeah, there's no way.
Because that was 2012. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, no way.
I don't know. Back in 2012, Sean was doing some questionable things.
I was.
You want to make a guess there, Sean?
So I know this is not what he said on air because I heard it this morning. I'm going to go Jerry.
Couple of D-bags.
You're right. Jerry Recco, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow, okay.
What did Jerry say on air this morning? Something different
well,
for each
he played or? Back the call he actually emulated, which was like the Lady Marmalade, itchy, yeah.
Oh, so Jerry was obsessed with Ichiro, man.
Yes, Jerry was very into it, and he recorded
how you
one.
Know.
Yeah. Well, no. It made me second guess it because I know what Jerry actually wanted to do, which he did on the air. I'm surprised he tweeted it.
Yeah, this was different. A home run for Ichiro, son of a Bichio. Could you imagine John doing that?
Yes, I could. After the last calls we played at the top of the hour, yes.
Yeah,
I
true. That's a good point.
Right.
But I think his shock jockness was different once he got in the booth at Yankee Stadium.
Here is post number two, and I apologize. Someone's about to get toasted because this is a negative John Sterling post.
Oh, I'm going to be angry at whoever this is.
September 13th, 2013. If you live in New York, John Sterling gets a lot of hate for his over-the-top homerism, and rightfully so. Bob Wischusen is in that same territory. Who posted that? A shot at both John Sterling and Bob Wischusen. Was it Greg Giannotti, Sal Licata, Sean Morash, or Al Dukes?
That was Sean Morash.
Team stinks. Everything stinks.
That is correct. It's Sean Morash.
No, those are two of my favorite play-by-play people.
Dude, you think I made up the tweet?
I'm
reading it
Bob
right now.
Too? I love Bob.
If you, this is Sean Morash. You want me to tweet it out or text it to you?
What year was this?
2013. You
this,
called Bob
this
Wischusen.
Is just one short year later.
This screams Photoshop.
Bob Wischusen and John Sterling are, quote, over-the-top homerists. That's you. I'm up aware. You think I'm making this up?
I should have never said anything negative about John Sterling or Bob Wischusen.
Are you racing to delete it right now?
No, I'm never going to delete it. My
I don't
take-
hear that as a John a knock on John. I hear it more as a knock on Bob.
Oh, you think it's more of a knock on Bobby?
Yeah, I think he's, like, excusing.
Oh, you know
yeah,
what?
I could kind of see that. Like,
right?
I get John's a homer. We love him. But that Bob Wischusen, what a homer. And by the way, he's full. Sean's wrong. Like, I think Bob Wischusen is one of the great broadcasters in our city.
I don't think
he's over the top a homer at all.
Maybe 2013 of me did.
Yeah,
so
I think Sterling was getting hate from people. And Sean was trying to defend him. That's what that sounds
no,
like.
No, it was his anti-Jet rhetoric. He just wanted to attack the Jets announcer.
It's like everybody's talking about Bob, John Sterling doing his over-the-top. Bob was choosing worse. I think it was kind of like a defend by attacking someone else.
You know what I'm realizing? I'm seeing this in Sean's face. He's very embarrassed by this. I'm starting to think it's more
because
about...
It's because you positioned it as a knock on John. I don't think it was a knock on John.
Well, it was a knock on both.
No,
but
it's
I can
not.
See
read it again. Read it again.
Okay, I'll read it again. If you live in New York, John Sterling gets a lot of hate for his over-the-top homerism.
Right. He's not saying John deserves the hate. He's saying John gets the hate, which is like, y'all need to shut up about John getting the hate. Because Bob Wischusen is whatever, worse, whatever he's
saying. But you're leaving out rightfully so. If you live in New York, John Sterling gets a lot of hate for his over-the-top homerism, and rightfully so.
Oh.
Then a transition of Bob Wischusen is in that same territory. I read it again.
Why
I think
you're
ripping both
why
guys.
Why are you hating on John?
I think I was supporting homerism there just to say, if we're calling out one, just understand a lot of these guys are homers.
Stop it.
I will just know I had a house full of people Saturday watching a Ranger on the game, and I spent an entire intermission preaching how great Bob Wischusen is.
In 2013, you thought he was an over-the-top homer.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to April 10th, 2018. John Sterling is going to have to switch to Stanton strikeout calls instead of home run calls. Giancarlo, he has no hit the ballo.
Oh God.
Is that Greg Giannotti, Sal Licata, Brandon Tierney, or Chris McMonagle?
That's Sal Licata.
You're wrong.
Dang it. It's not Sal Licata.
I sound like a hater.
Sal's not that funny.
It sounds like a hater, though.
I like Sal, but
sound like a bad hater attempt.
No, that's not a hater attempt. That's someone with a sense of humor.
Really? Yeah. I guess I hear everything on Twitter.
Giancarlo, he has no hit the ball low. Funny.
There is one person.
Is that funny?
Yes.
One person in this grouping who makes really uncomfortable play-by-play reenactments with John Sterling, and that's Brandon Tierney.
You're wrong. Oh.
No. Now I take back everything I just laid out.
The answer is Greg Giannotti.
Get me out of here.
Yeah, I thought it was actually funny. You guys didn't think it was that funny.
That's a swing and a miss.
I guess if it comes from Greg, it's got to be, right?
No.
You're just assuming that it's funny because it's Gio.
You think I'm assuming it's funny because it's Gio? No, I'm saying it's funny because it's funny. It was funny. I read that tweet. I laughed. I chuckled. I think part of it is I envision John saying it. Giancarlo, he no-hit the bolo. I say it again. It's funny. You think I'm giving Gio the benefit of the doubt because Giannotti's in general funny?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Because you, in your mind, you hear it as Gio would do it because he's great at doing imitations. You think it's funny because you, in your mind, even though you said it yourself, you're hearing it as Gio would say it.
No.
That's like the most accurate tiki take.
All right, there you go. Let's get to number four. This is from February 13th, 2015. Has nothing to do with sports. No offense. But if your significant other is drooling over prospects of going to see 50 Shades of Grey, maybe she's not that into you.
Mm.
It's an interesting observation.
Mm.
Is that Sean Morash, Greg Giannotti, Brandon Tierney, or Al Dukes?
I'm going to say that's Brandon Tierney.
I love being dirt.
Got that right? That's a BT opinion.
Wow.
Interesting. All right, finally, March 20th, 2021. This is your typical old takes exposed, if you will. Very straightforward. Mm-hmm. Kenny Golladay is a beast. Legit number one. Giants desperately needed him. That's a great signing.
Wow.
Is that Sal Licata, Sean Morash, Chris McMonagle, or Tiki Barber?
Definitely wasn't me.
You know for sure.
Sal Licata.
You'd be an idiot.
Are you an idiot?
Yes, you are correct. That is Sal Licata. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, another edition of Posted and Toasted every Tuesday here at 3:30 right here, or a little bit after that right here on WFAN.
Did well on that one.
You did pretty good.
3 out of 5.
Yeah, you did a nice job. So the Rangers and the Knicks put their postseason tickets on sale. Like, obviously, if you're a season ticket holder, you can already purchase them and buy them and say, hey, I'm in. They put them on sale a couple days ago. And they obviously quickly sold out. The Knicks and the Rangers are two of the hottest tickets in the world. The Islanders have not put their playoff tickets on sale. We'll keep an eye on that.
Why is that?
Maybe because they just clinched a playoff spot. That may have something to do with it, would be my guess. Where they were positioned. I mean, they looked dead, but dude, 3 weeks ago, it didn't look like they were a playoff
team. They made it, and they made it kind of dramatically. You just kind of ride the wave, right?
I think they'll put them on sale in the next couple of days.
Yeah.
That'd be my guess.
Better.
But right now, the Ranger and Knicks secondary market, just to get in the building for the first round, and we know who the Rangers are not playing. They're not playing the Islanders. We know who they could play, Washington, Detroit, Pittsburgh, and Philadelphia. And yeah, I think the hotness of the ticket slightly will be affected by who they play, but nothing majorly. And we know the Knicks are going to play one of two teams, Philadelphia or Miami. I think the hotness of the ticket will be affected a little bit if it's Philadelphia. But I went and looked this morning to see just the get-in price, not the average ticket price, just the get-in price to be in the building, to see the New York Rangers try to win a Stanley Cup, and to see the New York Knicks begin this trek as the two seed. The get-in price for the New York Knicks in this moment, to get in, is $408.
Wow. And where is that ticket?
In the upper corner.
Wow.
It is just to get in the building. For the New York Rangers, $355. So what I wonder...
How do you go to multiple?
That's what I wonder. Like, if you're a Ranger fan listening to us right now, if you're a Knick fan listening to us right now, and you're not a season ticket holder, and you want to go to a playoff game, like, you just want to go, man. It's a cool experience to go to a postseason game. You're in a tricky spot, A, because it's ridiculously expensive. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe you're just priced out. I mean, I'm sure there are people listening saying, I'm out. I just heard those numbers. I'll pray for them to go down. Maybe they do based on the way the series goes. But there's no shot I'm spending $400 a ticket to sit in crappy seats.
Right.
But then the other problem you run into, and I remember criticizing Brave fans about this years ago, and even Yankee fans, is that if you think a team is going to go on a run, and they're going to go to a conference finals, or they're going to go to the next round, are you really dropping all those shekels right out of the gate when you expect there to be more games down the road?
Yeah, so how can you commit to whatever the cost is going to be for you, or to you and someone else, or you and three other people, whatever it is, committing to that cost now if they're going to be in the, say, Eastern Conference Finals?
But then you're also kind of, as Boomer would say, touching the money. Because if you say, I'm not going now, it's too expensive, I'll wait, your weight may never be lifted. What if you lose? What if you get knocked out?
Then you're happy you haven't spent the money to watch a losing run.
But then you never saw a postseason game. You maybe never able to take your kids to a postseason game. Like, that is a cool experience for some people.
No, I agree, but I would hope, as Knicks and Ranger fans, this isn't our last postseason on Earth here.
No, I understand that.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You think next year it's going to be cheaper?
No, right? It'll be more expensive.
Exactly. So what are you doing? You're going to start saving now for next year?
I mean, it's...
So it's almost like you need to pull the trigger now, but that number is ridiculous.
Dude, that's a crazy number. Like, it's one thing to drop that kind of money to sit in really good seats and to get that experience.
Yeah. You're lower level. You're right there. It's easy. Good view. $500? Sure.
It makes more sense, at least.
Like, top of the stadium?
Top of the arena.
Top of the arena?
And that's why I wonder, are regular fans able to even go anymore? I mean, the season ticket holders, they do a good job with. Like, the one thing I know as a Knicks season ticket holder is they will let you buy your tickets for prices that are still wildly expensive, but much more reasonable than what I just described on the secondary market.
Is the secondary market. This is the people who don't have an entree get tickets at face value.
This is 80% of the people out there, because most people don't have season tickets. Most people do not have tickets to these postseason games. So if you're deciding, and here's the other thing, we don't even know when these games are, which also makes it tricky. Like, if you want to go to a game, you don't know the day, you don't know the time. They don't tell you. Like, the only thing we know about the Knicks is that they're going to open on Saturday. We have no idea what time. We don't know when game two would be. We have no idea when game five would be. You have no idea. And most people, when they're making that decision, not only to drop a lot of money, but to take their family to a postseason game, how the hell can you make that decision when you don't know the day of the week?
Well, the only economic way to think about it is, if not knowing the date and times, is I'll get them. And if I can't go, then I'll either give them to somebody who I really value, or I'll sell them.
Resell them, right. I just bought them, now I'll resell them.
I mean, honestly, that's what you kind of have to do.
Yeah.
That's a big number.
What are you going to do, Sean? Like, you're a diehard Ranger fan. We don't have credentials. We don't live in this world in which Sean's going to get, like, some media credentials. So as a regular human being who's a diehard Ranger fan, supposedly, how the hell are you going to any of these games?
First of all, supposedly. Okay, kiss my ass. I will try to get to at least one game. I am blessed to live on a street with several season ticket holders that have already bought their season tickets and I've been in touch with. Mm.
So they're going to give you their tickets?
Well, no, I would buy their ticket at face value.
Oh, that's very nice of them.
That kind of deal.
It's very nice
of them.
That
being said, what you do is, unfortunately, you create your own atmosphere. You have, you tight-knit other fans over, or you go to their place, and that's how you create your own environment. We gotta be creative now.
If they're in the Cup Finals, would you need to be in the building if they're playing a clinching game?
So this is a really double-edged sword for me. My gut and everybody's natural. Of course you would be.
What's that number? What do you think that number is? Get in.
Let me get, like, for what he would pay or what I think the actual number's going to be.
No, the get-in price.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I wish I knew the answer to 1994. It was a different time. We didn't have StubHub. We didn't have Ticketmaster apps. Like, we didn't have that same world. It was more of an undercover world.
I mean, it wasn't, because they were standing right on the corner. But I know what you mean.
But you know what I mean? Like, you'd have to go to a scalper. And is that even a politically correct statement anymore? I have no idea. You go to a scalper and say, hey, can I buy tickets? By the way, it was illegal.
Yeah.
So there's a chance that scalper is actually a police officer, and then they're throwing you in jail.
And then you're missing the game outright.
Then you're not even going to the game.
Yeah.
So it's a different world. But if I had to guess for this world we live in, knowing how expensive the first round's going to be, I think the get-in's well over $1,000.
Yeah.
I think to sit in that building, two seats together, it's going to cost you about $5,000 for the pair.
A buddy of mine their ticket pricing for his seats is $380 face value. So start working from there. So whatever you do, quadruple that.
Their face value is $380.
For the Cup. For the Stanley Cup.
And that's like cheap season tickets.
Wow.
Dude, I've got cheap Knicks season tickets. Do you know what the price, the face value is for the NBA Finals?
What is it?
$750. It's crazy. and I'm sitting in low, like, not lower level as in good, but like low level in terms of pricing seats.
I mean,
that's insanity.
When do you have to buy them by?
When do I have to buy a mic?
So what the Knicks do, and I'm sure the Rangers do the same thing because obviously it's the Garden, is it's called pay when we play. So once they advance to that round, they would charge you.
Yeah, and of course you would buy them.
Yeah, I'd buy them, but I also have less to worry about because they're not going to the finals. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
Let's go Knicks.
And then you give, them the loogie.
No, listen, there is no way in the world. I love you, bro.
I'm delusional. I'm not that delusional. Really? And he's got to make a profit. No. Let me rephrase that. I don't expect Evan to give me the tickets. Mm. Let me rephrase that.
Here's where you have a shot. In all seriousness, if the Knicks are in the NBA Finals, I am going to have an urge to use my tickets and go to the game. That is just a fact. Like, that's who I am.
Yeah.
As a sports fan, as a talk show host, like, that experience is valuable. I've only been to two finals games in my entire life. I would want to be there. Now, once I decide to go, where are you on that list? And far as who I'm taking is concerned, I don't know.
I'm clearly number one.
Tiki's ahead of you.
No, what Loogie could do is stand outside the Garden with about 3 minutes left.
Say it one more time.
I won't need it. So take him.
What do you mean you won't need it?
I'm sure I could find someone to take me
to the
game.
Look at this guy. I don't need it. Someone will take me. Like a celebrity or the Garden?
I don't know. Just somebody. I don't know.
Tiki just announces on the radio, I want to go to game three of the NBA Finals. Who's taking me? Phone lines light up and he's set. You should try that, Sean.
Yeah, I don't think that would work.
Say to Ranger fans, I want to go to the postseason game. Who wants to take me?
I don't know. Ranger fans love you, Sean.
No, they don't. They still blame me for losing to the Devils last year because I brought out a broom up 2-0.
Now we're about to get a very interesting...
That was pretty bad.
That was bad. We're about to get a very interesting answer in terms of 94 and how expensive they were. Jay in Coney Island got tickets for Game 7 in 94. And Jay, you got it on the street?
Got it on the street. My buddy and I, we actually went down to the Garden to be there for Game 5. And we were looking for tickets, and we couldn't get them for Game 5. Obviously, we were hoping they were going to win in Game 6 back in Vancouver, but they didn't. So Game 7, we got to the city really early, and we bought them from one of the bartenders at the Blarney Stone or the Blarney Rock, whatever it is, on 33rd Street.
Blarney Stone.
Yeah. And it was, you wouldn't believe it, the tickets were $350 each. We were up in the Blues or whatever the Blues were at the
time. That's not bad.
It was fantastic. We were in the last two seats in the corner, but we were in the building.
And yeah. So $350 in 1994.
Yeah, so what is that now? I have no idea.
I mean, that's not even the get-in price right now on the secondary market's that high for the first round.
Yeah, but it's 30 years ago. I mean, $350 30 years ago is a lot. It's a lot now.
So that's my point, because right now the get-in for the first round is that high. So you can only imagine what the Cup Finals would look like. Now, I do think, the more I've thought about it, the Knick prices will be a lot higher. Because if you're a Ranger fan, you've been to a Stanley Cup final, like in the last decade or a decade ago now. You went to a Cup final. For the Knick fan, it's been a little bit longer. You got to go back to 1999. And for this generation, it's non-existent.
Yeah.
So I lean that the Knicks being in the finals would be the hotter ticket than the Rangers being in the Cup finals.
I think the longer they go, both prices will get higher because they'll feed off each other, too. It'll feel like you have to be there, the teams, the events, that thing.
And think about what the numbers are right now.
Yeah, the challenge, though, and we talked about this before, like, this feels like it could get real corporate. Like, real...
Oh, no question.
Real not fanny. And real...
Not fanny.
Who has the money to actually buy these tickets?
I think we're already there.
Yeah.
I think we're already at that point. More of your calls coming up, 877-337-6666.